Long ago, it's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones run near. It's a most wonderful time of the year. Mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones draw near. It's a most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time.
Thank you. Good morning.
It would be Christmas without Patti Peterson at Unity. You agree? I just don't. Welcome. We're glad you're with us this morning, and we certainly welcome those that are live streaming with us today. Welcome. I want to call your attention to an insert in your bulletin. I invite you to take that out. And please note that on one side of that insert are all the special services that are being held here during our holiday season. Note also that there's two special services that was not available last year. One is our winter solstice on December the 21st, and our other one is a meditation, our world healing meditation on December the 31st at 6 a.m. in the morning. So come and be a part of that as well. Note on the back that we have two upcoming events. One is our annual remembrance service. It's an ideal time to remember those that have transitioned, our loved ones who have gone on before us. This is truly an uplifting service. It offers support, it offers love as we light candles and sing songs and share stories. It's truly one of my favorite services during the holidays. So come and be a part of that. Note that our Christmas Youth and Family Ministry program is set for Saturday, December the 13th and the 14th, and you will hear more about that from our director later as we end our service today. The holiday tree in our garden court supports PRISM. We replenished it. You guys took all of the tags last week. Thank you, God. And so there's additional tags on there. It is an age range is on the back of each tag with a suggested gift for that age. We also have an ongoing pantry shelf in our Friendship Hall, so we donate to PRISM year-round, and we invite you not only to remember PRISM here at this special time of year, but 12 months out of the year. Today is poinsettia pickup. Those of you that ordered poinsettias for your home, we thank you. Those of you that bought poinsettias for our decor, we thank you as well. Between all your generosity, because of your generosity, we sold over 100 poinsettias this year. So thank you very much for your support to our Youth and Family Ministry program. Do you want to deepen your spiritual growth? Yes. Let's try that again. Do you want to deepen your spiritual growth? Yes. Then consider serving on our Board of Trustees. We are seeking qualified applicants. Candidates must be a registered member of Unity Minneapolis. They must have taken Lessons in Truth and one other Unity class. There's an informational meeting that's this Thursday, December the 4th, at 6 p.m., which will last about an hour. So if there's something tugging inside of you, then we invite you to come and explore what it's about being on the board. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and as you leave the service today, if you did not pick up an Advent booklet last week, we invite you to pick one up today. I want to do a huge, huge, huge shout out for our decor team. Truly, it has transformed the Christmas. It's a wonderland. It's beautiful. This team is led by Ann Laurie, and I'm going to ask Ann and any of her members of her team to please stand and let us just appreciate you again, okay? Yes. If you have your cell phone or electronic device, we ask that you silence them and give yourself the gift and the rest of us of this sacred quiet time for the hour. And while you're at it, if you can use it to access Facebook, consider checking in and letting your friends know where you are, and maybe let them know that they too are welcome here. There are many more opportunities in which to be involved and make a difference here at Unity Minneapolis, and they are many of them are listed in your bulletin. Also, they are in our garden court as well. If you have any questions or any concerns, you can consult with Reverend Jeanette, Reverend Patty, or myself. So how are you doing this morning? I can tell from the energy you're doing great. I look around and I just feel the energy. Let's begin our time in prayer. I invite you to go to that place within your heart and within your mind. Take that deep breath and let go. Let go and let God. Feel that presence this morning, for it is indeed the Christ presence. We are so grateful to come together in spiritual community, to love each other, support each other, to remind ourselves who we are. And it is with great joy that together we say, thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. A beautiful Minnesota day. Let's applaud that day. We will use affirmations found in your order of service. Our first affirmation is our mission statement. Together, we are an inclusive and welcoming spiritual community, transforming lives as we celebrate, honor, and affirm the divine presence in every person. And now, our vision statement. Together, we are a vibrant, loving, prosperous spiritual community. We invite all to be partners in the worldwide expansion of spiritual understanding and consciousness. And then today's affirmation. Together, my faith in spirit guides, directs, and provides for me. Inviting our Unity Prayer chaplains to please stand. And if you'll look around the room, you'll see that these individuals, they arrived early. They held sacred space in this beautiful sanctuary. And they're here today to hold that sacred space for you, to listen with the ears of their heart, to pray aloud with you, and then to hold what they have heard in the strictest of confidence. So by all means, if you have a prayer request, seek out a Unity Prayer Chaplain. Thank you for your service, and you may be seated. The 4 weeks preceding Christmas are referred to as Advent. Advent means the coming. In many faith traditions, this dark time of winter is celebrated with a season of lights. In the Jewish tradition, Hanukkah is a festival of lights. In the African American tradition, the celebration of Kwanzaa also incorporates the lighting of candles. In the ancient Druid tradition, there were fires lit to celebrate the power of the light. In the Christian tradition, the light refers to the story of the birth of Jesus, which symbolized the possibilities of the Christ Spirit, that Holy Spirit, God, to be born within you and within me. We use this time of Advent and the symbols of the Christmas season to keep this ongoing possibility alive for us. So today, Advent begins. We start a four-week journey to Christmas. The four candles on our Advent wreath represent each Sunday before we celebrate the birth of Jesus, an event that is symbolic of spiritual new birth within each of us. The wreath is round, symbolizing completeness and eternal life, without beginning and without end. The Christ candle stands watch, representing the Spirit of God that is ever present within you and within me. So today, the first Sunday of Advent represents hope or faith and is symbolized by the candles themselves. Today we light a candle in hope, the hope that the candle will transform the darkness so that we know that which represents spiritual illumination is possible for us at any time we are feeling that darkness. It is our belief that hope is the first necessary step to move us out of our experience of darkness and prepares us for the birth of spirituality within ourselves. And today, we have lighting our candle for hope, three sisters, the Francel sisters, Julie, Faye, and Laurel. I'm going to invite you to come forth. Today, millions of people all over the world will light the first candle of Advent. It is the beginning of a journey. The first people to know about Jesus were the wise men. A star was revealed to them that led them out of the east, clear across the desert to arrive, according to Christmas tradition, on the 12th night after Christmas. Wise men are like good ideas in us. The good ideas we have are never lost. The good ideas travel from within each of us and bring us rich gifts, answers to our prayers. Today, we celebrate the beginning of the journey. We celebrate hope, which turns into faith. My friends, please stand as we sing together. Faith, what is the song, Nancy? We sing together, "Oh, come all ye faithful," okay?
Oh, come let us adore.
Thank you, and please be seated. Unity is a positive path for spiritual living. We offer practical teachings that help us to live meaningful, healthy, prosperous lives. We're also an open and welcoming, inclusive community. Therefore, one of our favorite things to do here each and every Sunday morning is to acknowledge our first-time guest. So today, if you're with us for the first time, we invite you to allow us to honor your presence here today. We invite you just to take your courage in your hand. This is the part where I say, we're going to do nothing drastic, okay? Take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. First time guest, keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. That purple packet that you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. It also has a welcoming CD in there, and there's also a pink card in there. And if you choose to fill out any part of that and turn that into our book desk, we have a special gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you, spot you, and give you a very personal welcome. All of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that's said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this, and that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you're welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. Let's do it. Let's appreciate those guests, okay? And those that are streaming with us today, for the first time, we welcome you as well. We enjoy greeting each other. We do. And those of you, you know, our streaming community is growing. I mean, it's really growing. And so thank you for your support in that area as well. We enjoy greeting each other. We do that with a handshake, a hug, a smile, namaste. We ask before we hug. Let's do that right now, okay? So if you did not get a chance to speak with the person you wanted to speak with, we invite you to join us for coffee and tea in Friendship Hall following today's service. Let's remain seated as we sing together the First Noel, number 267. The First Noel is in your bulletin. Thank you.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word and the singing of the Lord's Prayer. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you are invited to mentally add your prayers to the box. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is faith. We affirm, I have absolute faith in God. As Christmas approaches, my faith grows. I imagine what it must have been like 2,000 years ago when Mary was expecting baby Jesus. Her anticipation and wonder were multiplied, knowing this baby was particularly special. Her faith was absolute and unshakable. My faith in God is immovable. If I sense a tinge of doubt, I close my eyes and feel the presence of Spirit. As I remember that with God all things are possible, my faith is instantly renewed. Mine is an understanding faith. I may not grasp all the complexities of life, but spiritual understanding assures me that divine order is always unfolding. As I am guided to something new or even challenging, I step out in faith and expect only good. And Scripture tells us in Matthew 21:22, whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive. And the word for today is faith.
So I invite you to join me in meditation. Just take that deep breath and just gently let go. I invite you to close your eyes, closing out the outside world, focusing your attention inward to that place that only you can go. Feel that presence right now. Feel that presence as faith and love, joy, peace. And I invite you this morning to allow these words to become your words today. In the silence of your heart. My faith in spirit guides, directs, and provides for me. faith fills my heart, fills my mind. It takes great faith to bring a baby into the world. For Mary, 2,000 years ago, who was told she was carrying a child of infinite potential, it must have taken great faith indeed. As I move into the sacred season of Christmas, I celebrate my Christ nature within. And just like Mary, I too may not always know how things will work out. But faith sets me confidently on the path of my good. For my faith in God's power is greater than any fear or doubt. And my faith in God allows me to give birth to my unlimited potential. And with this understanding, I rest. I rest in the silence of my heart. And as we return to this time and this place, we remember the words of Jesus the teacher, who says, go, let it be done for you according to your faith. And this morning we hold those in prayer that have requested our prayers. We hold our prayer ministry, our Unity prayer chaplains, our healing ministry, and our Unity Cares ministry, as they continue to hold us in the light, in prayer, when we so often forget. So I invite you just to begin to return to this time and this place, and when you're ready, open your eyes, knowing that you are changed, for indeed you have been in the kingdom of spirit, the kingdom of God within. Thank you, God. Amen.
I am frightened by
hold me together, be forever near me, breath of heaven, breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven. Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place?
Just experienced a breath of heaven. Well, ready or not, Advent is here. Advent is here. Are you starting to feel that sense of anticipation? Yeah. It's truly, for me, it's in the air. And one thing that I know is that I'm feeling very grateful for the family that I grew up in, the church community that I grew up in, the Catholic grade school that I grew up in, because truly what it gave to me was the gift of this season. Everything in my life at that point in time was truly about anticipating the energy of this season, and I can feel that in the air this morning. You know, as Reverend Pat shared, as we lit this candle, we join with Christians around this planet in a celebration of hope, a spiritual idea which in unity we have translated to faith. And I'll give you more about that. But first, I want to really make sure we're all on the same page when we talk about Advent. It's not just a term about this wreath. You know, Advent is not just about this wreath. It's a word based on the Latin, and in its Latin understanding, the word literally means to come toward, or to draw near, or to approach. So as Reverend Pat shared earlier, this wreath is a tool that we use to symbolize that we are being drawn toward an approaching event. The question becomes, though, what event? What is it that we are truly being drawn toward? You know, traditionally, the event is taught as the birth of one child some 2,000 years ago, the baby Jesus. You know, I was, some of you know, when I was in Oregon before I went to ministerial school, I worked at the Grotto, which is a national Catholic sanctuary. And one of the events that I organized each year was the Christmas Festival of Lights, which had over 500,000 lights, 150 choirs. It was an amazing, amazing event. And the design of the event was so that you experienced, as you were coming in, that darkness and that sense of anticipation that was drawing you to the light. And when you walked out of this darker pathway into the plaza, there was this huge tree that had over 10,000 lights on it. And it was decorated almost the same every year and was a centerpiece of the event. And quite frequently, I would hang around that tree. Here's why I'm telling you the story. One night, I'm hanging around that tree, and there's this little boy underneath that tree, and he's holding his arms out. He's spinning in circles. He's looking up, and I'm like, wow, I want what he's got. It was pretty exciting. And then I started listening to what he was saying. And what he had was that sense of hope. He was yelling to his dad, look, they have a birthday tree for Jesus. Oh, touched my heart. Well, in Unity, we tell the story a little bit differently. We are celebrating through honoring the birth of this child some 2,000 years ago. We are celebrating the Christ presence that shines within each of us. This season of Advent offers us an opportunity to reawaken to the truth, to consciously choose to realign our attention, to realign our lives with our true divine nature, with the Christ presence within. You know, the anticipation of Advent gives us a break, a distraction caused in our, it gives us a distraction from our lives, from the chaos that we are experiencing because we've given our power over to the busyness of what's going on around us. You know, Advent is a time that we choose to set aside and collectively remember the truth that we are each expressions of God. That in celebrating the birth of this one child some 2,000 years ago, we are celebrating the rebirth, the spiritual reawakening within each of us. And we add to the anticipation of this season by using tools like this Advent wreath. Tools like the Advent book that we have given you. The themes of each candle on this wreath are themes about being reborn in spirit. I have a story I want to share with you. And this story at first may not seem to be about Christmas at all. It may even be a story that many of you have heard in various ways and in various tellings over the years. Because it's been around for quite a while, and I think it's a perfect story to follow after our Thanksgiving meal of soup, a simple supper, and sharing of the soup. So story time. Once upon a time, somewhere in post-war Eastern Europe, there was a great famine. And the people were afraid. They began to hoard the food, hiding it even from their friends and neighbors. And one day, a soldier wandered into the village, and he began to ask questions as if he might actually stay for the night. And the villagers became afraid, and they cried out, you know, there really is absolutely no food in this province, so you might as well just pack up and keep moving on. Oh, that's all right, the soldier said. I have everything that I need. In fact, I was thinking about making soup to share with all of you. And he reached into his wagon and pulled out an iron cauldron. And he filled that cauldron with water, and then he set it down and began to build a fire underneath that cauldron. Then very ceremoniously, he took out a rather ordinary-looking stone from a velvet bag. And he placed that stone in the iron cauldron with the water. Now, the people at this point in time, having heard the rumor that there might be food, began being drawn to the square where he was doing this. And some of them were watching out their windows. They really wondered what was going on. And they saw the soldier sniffing the broth, licking his lips in anticipation. And their hunger overcame their skepticism. Ah, cried out the soldier rather loudly. I do love the taste of stone soup. And you know, stone soup with cabbage? Now that's pretty good too. One of the villagers heard, and a few minutes later walked up rather hesitatingly with a head of cabbage that he had gone and retrieved from its hiding place. And they placed that head of cabbage in the iron cauldron. Capital, cried the soldier. I once actually had stone soup and cabbage with a little bit of salt beef. And you know, it was a meal fit for a king. It wasn't long and the butcher walked up. He happened to have some salt beef, and they placed that salt beef in the cauldron. And it went on. They added potatoes. Now they added carrots and celery. Someone earlier said not mushrooms, but they added mushrooms. They added onions. And soon they truly had a meal fit for a king. Now the villagers did all they could to try to buy that magic stone from the soldier, but it was not for sale. And the next morning he packed his bags and moved on down the road. So that's a Christmas story, right? You're going, no. Well, there are many ways to look at this story. In Unity, we talk about three levels of interpretation when we look at Scripture, and this also applies to stories like this, to stories that have been told over and over and have withheld the test of time. On one level, we have the literal interpretation of the story or myth. The who, what, where, when, why, and sometimes how. And then on the next level, we have the moral aspects of the story, such as in this story, one moral might be that by working together with everyone contributing what they can, the greater good is achieved. And then we have the metaphysical level. At this level of interpretation, we see the story as exemplifying something that is eternal, that is unchanging, that it is about capital T, truth. The story then can denote an aspect of our spiritual growth or our spiritual development, both individually and collectively. So looking at this stone soup story with this in mind, I actually do see it as a Christmas story, as a somewhat simplified, secularized version of the Advent journey. The townspeople are experiencing The townspeople are, I'm going to move over. Maybe there's just a dead space there. There we go. The townspeople are experiencing a spiritual famine. They've lost their connection to that cycle of giving and receiving, to the energy that is necessary for the birth of a higher spiritual possibility. They are stuck and feeling disconnected from their one true source, from their own divine nature. The soldier recognizes this. He knows that it is his job to help them to reconnect to the truth of who they are. He's at home with his faith. He knows the truth that there is only one presence and one power in the universe, that there's one presence in his life, that there is one presence in the life of these villagers, and that that presence provides everything that is necessary for everyone. Everything. And he holds that knowledge in a velvet bag. He treasures that knowledge in his heart. And with this knowledge, he can light a spiritual fire in the darkness for those who have not been able to light it for themselves. One person's faith transforms an entire community. Now, I really want to think about this for a few minutes. This stone, it represents many, many things. In Matthew 16:18, the Greek word, the ancient Greek word translated in modern language as rock is Petra. And this passage reads, "Thou art Petros, and upon this Petra I shall build my church." Jesus is at that point giving Simon, whose Simon means literally hearing, so he's in that place of spiritual understanding, ready to receive and listen, he's giving him a new name. He's giving him a new name, Petros, metaphysically representing our spiritual faculty of faith. According to Charles Fillmore, one of the co-founders of Unity in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, this is a direct quote, "This represents faith in God, unwavering, strong, and enduring. This faith is a necessary foundation for the building up of spiritual consciousness, the Church of Christ, in the individual." Jesus had embodied that faith, and he sees it in Peter. The soldier in the story represents that Jesus aspect of each of us that is at home with our faith, whose comfort level is in living from faith in these truth teachings. That truly is a part of each and every one of us. And the villagers represent that ego, that personality aspect, that can get caught up in the story, that can get caught up in the world around us as we perceive it, that part of us that is living from a sense of separation from our one true source. And then the divine ideas of the Advent season represented by these candles in this story are the rumors that call out to the villagers, that bring them to the square, building within them the anticipation that there is a way to satisfy their true hunger, to reawaken to the Christ Spirit within. The story is so rich with metaphysical understanding and meaning that I could probably go on for a while, but I won't. And here we go again. That's funny. Let's focus on today's candle. In Colossians 1:27, we are told, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." This is the rock. This is the truth upon which we are called to place our faith. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In the Christmas story, this hope is represented by the Christ child, a Christ essence that is present within each and every one of us awaiting expression, our hope of glory. Knowing this individually, knowing this collectively, is the promise of God's love in expression. And the small child in the Christmas story grows into the man who shared this promise with the world. He, just as the soldier in this story, shared it with the townspeople. You know, keep in mind that in the stone soup story, the soldier filled the iron cauldron with water before he built the fire. He aligned his faith with spiritual possibility first, and then he built the fire of hope. I think this is what has called unity into redefining the theme for the candle for this first day of Advent. I grew up knowing it solely as hope, as today being that light of hope. Yet hope is fleeting and wishful thinking if it is not based, or if it is based, in misplaced faith. Because we cannot increase our faith. The soldier in this story did not give the villagers more faith. He helped them to redirect it. So the question becomes, where are we placing our faith? Is our faith in lack? Is our faith in separation? Is our faith in knowing that there is one presence and one power in the universe and in our lives? Now, today we truly do join with millions of people in lighting Advent candles. This represents that same light that brought the townspeople in this story out of their homes. The same light that guides the wise men in the Christmas story. This star, this fire that is their hope of glory, is sparked from the truth that we are children of God. Get it? We are children of God. And as such, we are born with the promise of our divine inheritance. The awareness that they came to in the stone soup story, that they already had everything they needed for a meal fit for a king. We already have everything we need for a life fit for a king. The same light called out to the shepherds watching their flock at night. It calls out to all aspects of who we are, past, present, future. This light is calling us truly with this message, Christ in you. Christ lives in you. It's the message that calls us when we are experiencing any sense of separation. Be it appearances of lack, appearances of illness, whatever it may be, this light is calling from the center of our being. This is the heart of Christmas. The promise that no matter what life may look or feel like, our journey, individually, our journey collectively, is a journey to express this light within. The same light within each and every one of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Advent is truly a time of preparing ourselves to manifest our vision of wholeness. It's a time for us to be comfortable with, to be at home with the idea that unknown possibilities are ever seeking to express through and as you, that are ever seeking to manifest themselves in your lives. And here's the kicker. They will be birthed according to where you have placed your faith. So my request, or as Reverend Pat might say, my homework assignment for you, should you choose to accept it, is that during the chaos of this holiday season, you choose to avoid simply drifting from event to event, from experience to experience, and instead stop and take notice. Take notice of that which is pregnant within you, desiring to be born in your life, desiring to be birthed in your consciousness. What truth, what capital T truth, is seeking to express through you? This is the Advent journey. Making that time of preparation, of preparing the way and we've given you tools. You know, we've given you tools. You have the Advent book. You have this community. You have other tools. Whatever tools work for you, put them into practice this Advent season, because we are each being called to live God-centered lives. And in order to succeed in this endeavor, we must be at home with the idea that life is an ever-evolving process of spiritual transformation. And moment by moment, we reawaken to the Christ presence within each of us. We place our faith in knowing for ourselves and for each other, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I behold the Christ in you. Namaste.
Recovered. That's a heck of a song. But so is this one.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary didn't know. Your baby boy would one day rule the nations. Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
I'm going to invite our ushers to come forth, and this morning, if you've been spiritually fed in any way, we invite you to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis. Also, those that are streaming with us, it's very convenient for you to make a donation as well. So let's just take our gifts in our hand. If you're giving it with someone, hold it together, bless it together. You truly have the power to bless. I'll affirm our church offertory blessing once, then I'll ask you to affirm it with me, and then silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God. Amen. Let us take a moment and bless these tithes and these gifts and these offerings. And we truly send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission, the transformation of lives. So it is with great joy and thanksgiving that we just let go, we let God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. I, along with our Board of Trustees and our staff, want to thank you, each and every one of you, for your support this past year. Thank you for the gifts of your time, your volunteer work, and thank you for your prayers, your financial support. Your support has shown how much you believe in this community and the work that is being done here, inside and outside these walls. It shows that you know that what we're doing is truly making a difference in the lives of many people. Last December, we asked you to consider making an additional gift to this community to help us end the year in a very strong financial position. Today, we asked for your year-end financial help in strengthening some specific areas as we head into 2015. This next year, we have several dreams that we would like to come true without depleting the community's financial reserves. For example, next year, we would like to replace approximately 40 windows in the entranceway. We also want to replace the blinds in the sanctuary so it's not necessary for you to wear sunglasses to church. We also want to invest in our technology needs inside and outside the facilities. We must continue to meet people where they are in their growth, and much of this can be done through technology, streaming, social media, and other methods of delivering our message. And of course, We still have a lot of work to do with our lighting and sound for our platform. Also, the financial reality of 2014 meant that the church's inreach and outreach dollars were needed and appreciated by more people than you can imagine. So we want to continue to make a difference. The needs of our pastoral care continues to grow, and we need dollars to help fund this area. How can I stand here and ask you for this gift, this year-end gift? It's easy. It is so easy for me to do this, for I know the work that is being done here is making an important difference in the lives that attend Unity Minneapolis and making the difference in the lives of so many people, including mine and perhaps yours. So I invite you to make a year-end gift to Unity Minneapolis over and above your normal giving so that we may continue to offer strong programs and services that assist in transforming lives, yours and mine. This past year has been a wonderful year. And with our faith in God, and just as important, with our faith in each other, we see beginning 2015 in a strong financial position so that we may make the needed repairs here to our spiritual home and to continue to offer outstanding programs and services that assist in the transformation of lives. Thank you for your generous support, and God bless you. Let's stand and let's bring our children in, okay?
We are walking in the light, in the light, in the light. We are walking in the light, 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 in the light. Sing in the light of God.
Good morning, parents and friends. Does the cold and snow we're experiencing so early in the season already have you dreading the possibility of another long winter? Well, now you have an opportunity to relive those beautiful days of summer as the youth of Unity head to Camp Minnewachappi on Christmas Lake for their annual Christmas in July celebration. So, pack your sunscreen and plan to join us on Saturday, December 13th at 7 p.m. or Sunday, December 14th at 6 p.m. for an evening of storytelling, song, and dance that will celebrate our connection to nature and the spirit of Christmas. Tickets are $10 and can be purchased in the garden court following this morning service. All children under 5 will be admitted free. And remember, campers, you bring the flip-flops, we'll bring the fruitcake. We'll see you soon. And until then, Merry Christmas.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Greg Peterson. I'm directing the show this year, and I just am so grateful for the hard work that all of our cast and youth have assisted us in putting together this wonderful show for you. We have 59 children and adults participating in this year's Christmas program. So buy your tickets now to this Cecil B. DeMille production, and we'll look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. And I want to just shout out again our adult volunteers that make this happen every Sunday morning. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. Join us next week as we continue our Advent journey. Next week, we will look at peace be still, my friends. Join us next week. Let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that
the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. And the presence of God watches over us.
Wherever we are,
God is.
And all is well.
Let this be the moment now, with every step I take, let this be my joyous vow, to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. All right, time to sing, everyone, again. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, what?
Let's go.
All right. It doesn't show signs of stopping. I got some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low.
So.
When we finally kiss goodnight, how I keep going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me, so what? When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight,
hey,
all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, sing it.
Pretty good.
Twice.
Do it again.
One more time. Bring it home.
Let it snow. Let it snow.
A great week, everyone. Fun to be back.